QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. The snail mail address for the ARRL is 225 Main Street in Newington, Connecticut. The zip 06111. You may call the ARRL headquarters for assistance with any amateur radio concerns, whether you are an ARRL member or not, at 1-860-594-0200. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16, 2011. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. The Audio Aries e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and edited monthly by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at www.arrl.org/ares-el. We start with the view from the world. IARU, ITU, and emergency communication. If you were to ask most amateur radio operators what entity is responsible for granting privileges to use portions of the radio spectrum, the answer would likely be in their own National Telecommunication Authority. Here in the U.S., that would be the FCC, of course. However, that's only partially true. The ultimate authority for the use of the radio spectrum is the International Telecommunication Union, the ITU. Every radio amateur should understand what the ITU is and why its work and decisions are important. There are three sectors in the ITU: radio communication, ITUR, development, ITUD, and standardization, ITUT. The International Amateur Radio Union, IARU, is a sector member of both the ITUR and the ITUD. The IARU participates in both sectors by attending meetings that involve issues that may impact the amateur or amateur satellite services. The ITUR sector is important for radio telecommunication services, including the amateur and amateur satellite services. Every 4 or 5 years, the ITU holds a World Radio Telecommunication Conference, or WRC, to revise international radio regulations. ITUD is where much of the ITU's work on disaster response takes place. The development arm of the ITU considers emergency telecommunications an integral part of its projects, integrating telecommunications information and communication technology in disaster prediction, detection, and alerting. Emergency telecommunications play a critical role in the immediate aftermath of disasters by ensuring timely flow of vital information, which is much needed by government agencies and other humanitarian actors that are involved in rescue operations and providing medical assistance to the injured. IARU's task in the ITUD sector is to ensure that amateur radio's role in disaster communications is understood and appreciated by the ITU members. The ITUD sector also conducts a worldwide conference. The ITU also sponsors regional and global exhibitions called telecoms. An ITU telecom offers a Global Information and Communication Technologies, ICT, community platform that gathers stakeholders from across the telecommunications ICT sector to connect, collaborate, and create the future ICT landscape. Forums and seminars are conducted at the telecoms, and IARU has participated in such forums, usually on topics related to emergency communications. This information is from the IARU e-letter, January 2011 issue, and IARU Secretary Rod Stafford, W6ROD. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16, 2011. We'll pause for a few seconds now to allow stations to identify themselves. In this issue of the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter, we have the following. The View from the World, which you just heard. ARRL sets MCOM interests in legislative goals. New monthly Aries MCOM survey. Emergency messaging webinar on February 26th. Urban search for CERT and Aries members. Are you training followers or leaders? Radio Club de Haiti receives repeater from ARRL and Radio Club Dominico. Letters. Large MCOM exercise in Georgia, a cooperative effort. ARRL Partners News Roundup. Skywarn training on St. John, a win-win for the island and forecasters. ARRL International Humanitarian Award goes to an MCOM operator. Aries staff changes, and K1CE for a final. First, ARRL sets MCOM interests in legislative goals. The ARRL Board of Directors held its 2011 annual meeting, January 21st and 22nd, 2011, in Windsor, Connecticut, under the chairmanship of President K. Craigie, N3KN. Craigie is a former section emergency coordinator of the ARRL Eastern Pennsylvania section. The board discussed its legislative program in the 111th U.S. Congress and plans for the 112th, particularly the reintroduction of the Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Enhancement Act into the House of Representatives and the expected similar Senate bill. The board voted to adopt 7 legislative objectives for the 112th Congress that affects us as Aries members and emergency communicators and amateur radio as a whole. The objectives are expansion of the reasonable accommodation of amateur radio antennas to all forms of land use regulation, opposition to the reallocation of amateur spectrum, opposition to legislation that diminishes the rights of federal licensees in favor of unlicensed emitters, seeking recognition of the unique attributes of the amateur radio service in any legislation addressing communications in emergencies, disasters, and homeland security matters, supporting the legislative objectives of other radio communication services that require spectrum access, and protection from interference for non-commercial purposes that benefit the public. Opposition to distracted driving legislation that does not exempt two-way mobile transmitters operated by FCC licensees, and supporting the FCC Commissioner's Technical Resource Enhancement Act. New monthly Aries MCOM survey. Starting in February, we will have a monthly survey question related to Aries and MCOM, similar to the quick stats found in QST and on the ARRL website. To access the poll online, click on www.arrl.org/aries-monthly-poll. That's www.arrl.org/ares-monthly-poll. The February survey will be available until the 28th, and results will be published in next month's Aries e-letter. We ask that you submit your answer only once. Do you have an idea for a survey question? You may submit your idea via email to emergency@arrl.org. Emergency messaging webinar on February 26th. ARRL Atlantic Division Director Bill Edgar, N3LLR, will host a webinar for ARRL members on February 26th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, using Narrowband Emergency Messaging Software, NBEMS. NBEMS is a set of programs used to send messages and files via amateur radio using an audio interface. NBEMS developers Dave Kleber, KB3FXI, and Western Pennsylvania Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator Harry Bloomberg, W3YJ, will present a 2-hour webinar that covers NBEMS's advanced features. Learn about the use of NBEMS, FLWRAP, and FLMSG to send and receive spreadsheet and database data and form-based messages such as the IS-213 and its NTS radiogram forms. Bloomberg and Kleber will also be covering HF DigitalNet procedures and protocols, and hope to incorporate a live HF demonstration that will be viewable by all those attending the webinar. You may register for this webinar online at www.gotomeeting.com/register/4975681992. Let me repeat that address. It's www.gotomeeting.com/register/4975681992. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16th, 2011. We'll pause now for a few seconds for station identification. Now we continue with the ARRL Aries e-letter, beginning with Urban Search for CERT and Aries members. Amateur radio operators and CERT members can help save lives by learning how to search for missing children and at-risk adults during a one-day training event to be held Saturday, March 19th in Stockton, California. The Urban Search and CERT for Aries workshop will kick off creation of a new rapid response program using amateur radio operators and community emergency response team members as searchers. Volunteers attending the class will become the program's first members. Taught by leaders of the Alameda County Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team, the class will give volunteers the basic skills necessary to safely look for missing kids and at-risk adults in the urban or suburban environment. The event will be held at the San Joaquin County Agriculture Center, 2105 East Earhart Avenue in Stockton, California. The site is adjacent to the Stockton Airport. The event will run from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. It is sponsored by the Amateur Radio Emergency Service of San Joaquin County. The workshop is open to anyone interested. However, seating is limited and priority will be given to current Aries and CERT members. You need not be a San Joaquin County resident to attend. There is no fee for the class, although donations will be accepted to support the event and the search program. The workshop marks the second anniversary of the search for Sandra Cantu, an 8-year-old Tracy girl who was abducted near her home on March 27, 2009. Her body was discovered just over a week later. The organizers and instructors were involved in the search for Sandra. Although later investigation found the child was likely deceased even before she was noticed to be missing, San Joaquin Aries hopes this program will make a difference in the lives of children in the future. Elders with dementia or other cognitive disorders are a second focus of the program. Statistics show that many of these patients will wander from facilities and caregivers. If not found quickly, a significant number will eventually be discovered deceased. The goal of the program is to, in cooperation with law enforcement, get 10 two-searcher teams on scene within 1 hour of notification. Such a response would dramatically increase the resources available to search for the missing person. For additional information, please contact David Kersey, N5FDL, Aries Emergency Coordinator for San Joaquin County, California. Are you training followers or leaders? David Kersey, N5FDL, also writes, "Here's something that I've known for a while but recently jumped out at me. Am I training leaders or followers?" Our group has become involved in a project setting up and managing portable emergency vaccination clinics. That is supposed to require between 40 and 75 volunteers per shift per site. Now, with four sites, that's potentially 300 volunteers per shift, or 1,200 per day. Obviously, we don't have enough volunteers to staff this ourselves. At best, we could run one clinic all by ourselves for two shifts a day, and that's if we brought in lots of friends to help. Nevertheless, when the time comes, and I'm no longer thinking if in terms of public health emergencies, I am betting we will have all the volunteers we need. They will come, if not out of the woodwork, out of churches, schools, and other volunteer sources. But these volunteers will have one thing in common: no training. And that means the volunteers we train in advance, such as ARES, ACS, and CERT members, will need to train and then manage the convergent volunteers that appear when we need their help. That subtly changes how we train our own people. Our folks need to know not just how to set up an emergency clinic, but how to manage it and train the other volunteers who will do all the other non-medical work, such as registering people, organizing supplies, maintaining order, and so forth. If all we create are good followers, do as you are told, volunteers, we don't have a chance of success. We need volunteers trained to, as the military puts it, take charge and move out. You don't even need a complex assignment like managing vaccination clinics to require your volunteers to have management training. All you need is a mutual aid incident. If a bunch of mutual aid ARES members are headed for your county, someone is going to have to get them organized, equipped, signed in, staged, dispatched to their assignments, and so forth. That means your local folks may spend a lot of their time getting the out-of-towners positioned to actually do the work that needs to be done. In my county, the worst disaster we plan for is a big earthquake or other emergency in San Francisco that sends us thousands of urban refugees. We are 60 miles out from San Francisco and a major staging area for Bay Area relief efforts, which will also need our support. Can you see where this is headed? Mayhem that can only be controlled if we train for it. So let me thank you in advance for all the help we're going to need in such an emergency, but also to be ready for all the help that will arrive. Our members have to be able to manage that stampede. There is a corollary to this management story. Our folks also need to know how to be a good mutual aid resource if sent to help somewhere else. But that's for another discussion. In the meantime, think about your members as being managers when your big one, whatever it may be, hits. This from David Corsi, N5FDL, EC San Joaquin County, California. His MCOM blog is n5fdl.com. This is the ARRL Audio ARES e-letter for February 16, 2011. We'll pause now for a few seconds to allow stations to identify themselves. Radio Club de Haiti receives repeater from ARRL and Radio Club Dominicano. As part of the relief efforts after the earthquake in Haiti, the ARRL delivered a Vertex VXR 7000 repeater to the Radio Club de Haiti. They did this through its HAM aid program and with the help of the IARU Region 2 and the Radio Club Dominicano, or RCD. This repeater, part of the original equipment sent by the ARRL during the devastating Haitian earthquakes in January 2010, will help with radio communications coverage in that devastated nation. Both the Radio Club Dominicano and the Radio Club de Haiti are IARU member societies. The repeater was originally sent by the ARRL to members of the RCD who were helping to provide communication support in Haiti following the earthquake. Earlier this month, Doug Lapin, K1OY, the Dominican Republic's ambassador accredited to the Secretary of State of Foreign Relations, delivered the repeater to Radio Club de Haiti President Jean-Robert Gaillard, HH2JR. According to Lapin, the repeater will be linked to other repeaters on the island nation, building a new nationwide amateur radio network. The HAM-Aid Fund was created in 2005 in response to the need for equipment and resources to support the amateur radio response to Hurricanes Katrina, Rita, and Wilma. HAM-Aid equipment is available on loan to amateur radio organizations during disaster response when communications equipment is unavailable. The ARRL HAM-Aid Fund is supported by businesses, manufacturers, and individual financial contributions. If you are interested in contributing to the HAM-Aid Fund, please contact ARRL Chief Development Officer Mary Hobart, K1MMH, via email at k1mmh@arrl.org or by phone 860-594-0307. Now some letters. Jeff Doviak, VE4MBQ, Emergency Coordinator, Winnipeg Aries, writes, Twitter for alerting. I have requested a quote from the one call you mentioned in the January issue of the Aries e-letter. Are you aware of any Aries groups using Twitter for alerting? One of my members recently suggested it, but I couldn't find anything with a quick search, so I thought I would ask you. Once I get that quote, I will be getting in touch with our membership, as well as polling, to see who's on Twitter. And I'll bet most of my members are not. Our next letter is from Dave Cook, KC0MHT. He writes, Tabletops in Colorado. Since 2006, Omega has worked tabletop exercises to full-scale exercises for the Colorado North Central Region All-Hazards District, involving a number of our Aries districts. We are participating in an exercise with FEMA Region 8's DICE 2011. Mile High DICE 2011 is an exercise to allow agencies to discuss and validate agency continuity plans and capabilities. The agencies would activate their respective continuity plans after a series of improvised explosive device or IED detonations along the Colorado Front Range area. Omega's portion of the exercise is titled Operation Snake Eyes. For more information, please see our website, www.omegaresponders.org. Richard Webb, NF5B, ARRL NTS Central Area Staff Chairman, writes, Transmitting the ICS 213 form. I noted some discussion in the December Aries e-letter regarding the issue of transmitting the ICS 213 form. Here's how I explain it to radio amateurs. When you ship a package via UPS, FedEx, and so forth, you've addressed the package. The shippers will place additional labeling information on your package, however, such things as tracking numbers, routing codes, etc. This is for their audit trail. The same is true for the ICS 213 form if it must go via relay. If you're sending it directly to the site where it will be received and handled, by all means, send the 213 form raw. But if your station isn't WinLink equipped, an attachment is not an option. If it must be handled by a relay, and that's any intermediate step between you and the receiving location, by all means append that radiogram header information, number, precedence, handling instructions, call sign of the originator, group count, place of origin, time and date filed. For best results, and to alleviate confusion, use local time and date. But if you use UTC, make sure the UTC date corresponds with UTC time. The radiogram information allows those intermediate stations to provide proper tracking control. The 213 in its raw form is an inter-office speed memo and does not contain information to enable proper tracking through a system of relays. If you ask me, to relay that information or any information via manual modes, such as voice or CW, then to adequately provide the accountability, you must have that seemingly irrelevant radiogram information. It gives me and you the tools we must have. More letters will follow in a few seconds. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16, 2011. We'll pause now to allow stations to identify themselves. And now we continue with our letters. John T. Fleming, W3GQJ, in the Villages, Florida, writes, Training Suggestion, IS-317 and IS-324. After reading your latest newsletter on training, I would like to suggest IS-317 CERT and IS-324 Community Hurricane Preparedness. CERT gives a lot of good knowledge on self-survival for the first 72 hours after a disaster. Taking the course online, though, does not give you the hands-on CPR training, etc. I also took the CERT training course here so I could get the hands-on training. ICS-324 is for the emergency manager, but it also helps to understand the decisions he or she has to make. It explains how the National Weather Service works with emergency management in trying to make sound decisions. In other news, large MCOM exercise in Georgia, a cooperative effort. An MCOM exercise conducted by the Cherokee County, Georgia Aries Group, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS, and a significant number of clubs throughout the Atlanta, Georgia, North Metro area, took place Saturday, January 15th. It was the first exercise of this type or magnitude ever conducted in the state. There were more than 113 check-ins recorded during the drill, encompassing 16 counties. During the previous week, Atlanta was crippled by a massive snow and ice storm, which served as the backdrop for the exercise. Net schedules were formulated, repeater coordination and permissions for use were secured, and net control operators were designated. Coordination with the LDS Church Bishop's Central Storehouse, K4BCS, was a major focus. Finalization of all net schedules took place, and the Friday afternoon email notification was sent out to the participating HAM groups. Five repeater clubs across Atlanta granted use of their repeaters for the exercise and were participating. In total, the drill involved five coordinated, simultaneous nets, all working together and checking in on a schedule with the LDS Church Bishop's Central Storehouse, located in Tucker, Georgia. Repeaters weren't the only communication conduits. Simplex was used on one net to test its effectiveness. Taking it a level lower, some neighborhoods having ham operators activated an FRS calling tree, making contacts with unlicensed residents and even in some cases sending runners out to get face-to-face contact with members that did not have access to radios of any kind. This went a long way towards adding realism. A few direct Echolink check-ins to one net control operator also took place. One church unit tested an emergency preparedness plan and established a command center as part of that plan. They, as part of their operations test, formulated a simulated casualty and loss message that was transmitted and verified with the Tucker location. The drill was so successful that several organizations are calling for a 6-month interval for similar tests. Thanks to Jim Alderdice, N1ABM, in Woodstock, Georgia, for this information. ARRL Partners News Roundup. American Red Cross. Winter storms wreaking havoc again, February 9, 2011. Click on www.redcross.org for that report. APCO International. APCO releases ANSI-approved minimum training standards for public safety telecommunicators. The report, dated February 9, 2011, may be viewed at www.apco911.org/press /view/164. Again, that's www.apco911.org/press/view/164. Civil Air Patrol. The Texas unit staged successful balloon launch retrieval February 9, 2011. Click on www.capvolunteernow.com. And I'll repeat that, www.capvolunteernow, that's one word, .com. FEMA. FEMA encourages all councils and CERT programs to register in the new national registries. The registries collect and display contact information for each program and council, making it easier for individuals to learn more about safety and security in their community and to get involved in local activities. To learn more about the Citizen Corps, click on www.citizencorps.gov/about. Again, www.citizencorps, that's one word, .gov/about. And to learn more about CERT, click on www.citizencorps.gov/CERT. The International Association for Radio, Telecommunications, and Electromagnetics Workshop on High-Power Electromagnetic, or HPEM, Threats, High-Altitude Electromagnetic Pulse, HEMP, and Intentional Electromagnetic Interference, IEMI, will be held March 14th and 15th, 2011, in Chicago, Illinois. More information is available at www.narte.org/h/hpem.asp. That's www.narte.org/h/hpem.asp. National Communications System. SHARES, the Shared Resources High Frequency Radio Program, is charged with promoting interoperability between high frequency radio systems used by the federal departments and agencies. To learn more, click on www.ncs.gov/shares/hf.html. Again, click on www.ncs.gov/shares/hf.html. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16, 2011. We pause now to allow stations to identify themselves. NVOAD, the National Level Exercise 2011, NLE 2011, will be held May 16th through 20th. The purpose of the NLE 2011 is to prepare and coordinate a multiple jurisdictional integrated response to a national catastrophic event, specifically a major earthquake in the central United States region of the New Madrid Seismic Zone, NMSZ. NLE 2011 will involve thousands of government officials at the federal, state, local, and tribal levels, members of the private sector, and the general public. Participants will conduct simultaneous related exercise activities at command posts, emergency operations centers, and other locations in the Washington, D.C. area, and the 8 affected central U.S. states, Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, and Tennessee. More information can be found at www.fema.gov/media/fact_sheets/NLE2011_FS.SHTM. Now let me repeat that address. For more information on NLE, go to www.fema.gov/media/fact_sheets/NLE2011_FS.shtm. REACT. While REACT has been associated primarily with Citizens Band in the past, the organization has widened its focus to embrace amateur and other radio services. The ARRL and REACT share common goals in terms of emergency communication. To learn more, see www.reactintl.org. The Salvation Army. Dated February 9, 2011, the Salvation Army ALM Division readies as winter weather approaches. Once again, much of Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi are bracing for frozen precipitation, and the Salvation Army is preparing to respond. As sub-freezing temperatures settle in across the region, the Salvation Army is expanding shelter capacity. For more about this announcement or other Salvation Army news, click on http://disaster.salvationarmyusa.org/media. And again, http://disaster.salvationarmyusa.org/media. Society of Broadcast Engineers, SBE. The Society of Broadcast Engineers has been the National Association of Broadcasters' organizational partner for the presentation of the NAB Broadcast Engineering Conference, or BEC, since 1995. Following previous years, this year's BEC will be the largest and most comprehensive broadcast technical conference in the world. The conference begins with the SBE ENNES workshop on Saturday, April 9th, and ends on Thursday, April 14th in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information, click on www.sbe.org. Skywarn Training on St. John, a win-win for the island and forecasters. It always helps to have your eyes on the ground. A Skywarn training session, hosted last year by local St. John hams and presented by representatives of NOAA and the National Weather Service, or NWS, will help forecasters fill a critical void in on-the-ground weather information from this small tropical U.S. Virgin Island. St. John is a gateway for weather traveling to Puerto Rico and westward. Its unique geographical location, being the easternmost part of the United States Virgin Islands and resting on the edge of FAA radar located in San Juan, makes on-the-ground weather information critical and necessary for accurate forecasting. Robert Mitchell, lead forecaster from the National Weather Service in San Juan, says, "There is no accurate way to tell if there is a waterspout just offshore, or just how intense rain or other aspects of storms are on St. John by looking at current data." Mitchell was one of the presenters at the training session. He was joined by Althea Austin Smith, senior hydrologist with NWS and NOAA, who toured the island before the training session and looked at the areas currently impacted by flooding and landslides during heavy rains. The St. John Skywarn session was the culmination of 4 years of effort by St. John Amateur Radio Club member George Klein, KP2G, and Club President Paul Jordan, NP2JF. Mr. Jordan said, "With severe weather crossing from one country to another and moving from island to island each day, cohesion in reporting and collection of weather data is critical to local public safety." Jordan, who is also a member of St. John Rescue and St. John Ares Group, went on to say, "We had the training session set up several times, only to have it postponed, largely due to budget." He also said, "We were eager to get the National Weather Service training here to to help residents and visitors better prepare for and respond to weather events and to help local forecasters. Part of the unique challenge here is that unlike areas in the contiguous 48 states where radar often overlaps to provide several views of a given area, St. John is seen only on the edge of the San Juan radar. With weather radar angled to avoid picking up ground objects, that degree above the Earth becomes more elevated at the outer circumference of the radar, sometimes missing lower-lying clouds or other weather-related features. This is what makes the need for on-the-ground weather watchers so critical. More than a dozen attendees took part in the training session, including members of the St. John Amateur Radio Club, St. John Rescue, which is an all-volunteer emergency first responder group, representatives of the Transportation Safety Administration from St. Thomas International Airport, and the St. Thomas Amateur Radio Club. Weather watchers were provided with direct contact numbers and email addresses for reporting severe weather events to the National Weather Service in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Thanks to Phyllis Benton, NP2MZ, ARRL Public Information Officer, for the U.S. Virgin Islands Section News. This is the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter for February 16, 2011. We pause for a few seconds now for station identification. Now back to the ARRL Audio Aries e-letter. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award goes to an MCOM operator. Ron Tomo, KE2UK, of North Belmore, New York, is the recipient of the 2010 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. Tomo's life exemplified public service through amateur radio, from providing phone patches during the Vietnam War and providing communication support during 9/11 with MARS and the United States Service Command, as well as serving in the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary as a communications officer, where he played a pivotal role during Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. During the Haitian earthquake in January 2010, Tomo, at his own expense, served with a team of doctors providing communication support between the on-site doctors and a hospital in Miami. According to Jack Satterfield, W4GRJ, one of his many nominators, Tomo provided critical communication links at multiple levels, from coordinating helicopter relief to a stranded village, to handling emergency evacuations to the nearby USS Comfort Hospital ship. Ron even provided the extra hands needed to hold flashlights at the operating table when the power went out at night. He went on to a rescue mission to help carry stretchers bringing back patients to their facility. Mr. Satterfield went on to say, "Ron has a polio-inflicted disability, which never seemed to slow him down. However, while carrying a stretcher in the dark, he missed a step and took a pretty bad fall. He needed medical attention, but Ron was adamant about seeing to the other patients before himself." Mr. Satterfield says his efforts while in Haiti were undoubtedly and directly attributable in the saving of so many lives. ARRL New York City Long Island Section Manager Mike Lysinko, N2YBB, concurred. He said, at his own expense, about $10,000, Ron purchased more than 15 new radios and added others from his massive collection, which he used to set up a tactical network in a tent hospital. This network proved to be a life-saving setup where Ron was personally credited by the doctors in his tent hospital for saving at least 8 lives and helping hundreds more due to his ability to find hospitals to handle the patients who had been triaged and stabilized. Mr. Lysenko also said, Ron gave out his radios to several people and hospitals, thereby giving his hospital both incoming and outgoing communications to expedite the transport and intake of new patients. Aries staff changes. New Indiana Section Emergency Coordinator. Tony Langer, W9RAL, has departed the Indiana section staff as of December 2010 with thanks for his 4 years of service. The new SEC is Joseph Lawrence, K-9er RFZ. In setting his initial priorities, Lawrence centered on ARIES-NET topics, saying, "I think the ARIES-NET should be used to discuss recent ARIES policy changes, significant lessons learned from public service events or emergency exercises, problems the EC faced and how he or she solved them, and problems the EC faces and wants suggestions for solving. Some issues," he said, "need more discreet one-on-one consideration, but most ECs face similar problems of team participation, EMA cooperation, and the like." He said, "What works in one team may work fine for others. Rather than reinventing the wheel, ECs need more opportunities to share ideas. I'd run the net more like a corporate staff meeting," he said. "Each member is expected to discuss recent issues, actions, and plans forward. I think it's also useful for the general ARIES team member to hear and participate in these discussions." Thanks to John Poindexter, W3ML, Indiana Section Manager, for this information. Alabama searches for new SEC. Spencer Edwards, KZ4J, has resigned as Alabama Section Emergency Coordinator. Edwards' recovery from a number of surgeries over the past months has taken longer than expected, and due to health concerns, he has stepped down. He is hopeful that he will be able to return in some capacity in the future. Alabama section officials wish Edwards a speedy recovery and thanked him for his work as SEC. The search has begun to seek a replacement for the section emergency coordinator. Thanks for this report to David M. Drummond, W4MD, Alabama section manager. And now, K1CE for a final. Rick Palm says, "It has been an extremely difficult winter for many parts of the country, with probably countless ARIES activations conducted in severe environments. I am looking for reports on how operators worked under these conditions of cold, snow, and ice for educational purposes in future newsletters. Please send brief accounts and observations to me, your editor, via email at k1ce@arrl.net. Thanks, and see you next month." And that's the ARRL Audio ARIES e-letter for February 16, 2011. The Audio ARIES e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Audio ARIES e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARIES e-letter, compiled and edited by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. You may contact the ARRL headquarters for assistance with any amateur radio concerns, whether you are an ARRL member or not. The snail mail address for the ARRL is 225 Main Street in Newington, Connecticut, zip code 06111. The phone number is 1-860-594-0200. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening. And 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, all rights reserved.